This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. Through this weekend, buy one, get one at EdenPure.com. Use code word GRACEBOGO.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. I want to thank Aviva Trattoria for bringing in an amazing spread. The pizza was delicious, the chicken parm sandwiches, the chips, the arancini balls. It was all so good. My VIPs loved it. And I want to thank my VIPs. We've been having such a good time talking about, see, their governor is Phil Murphy. And they're so proud of him. They love him so much. No, so we were just talking about, you know, really bad governors. And theirs was in the running for a while to be the worst. But Andrew Cuomo, I hate to break this to you guys, he just knocked you right out of the running. He is taking over. Before I go back to that, though, I see you guys on the lines, 844-500-4242. We will get to the calls. But first, I want to say, there's a story right now about Joe Biden's brother. And I was mistaken yesterday. I did call him by the right name, Frank. But I was confused about which brother this was, because there's one brother who looks just like Joe. He looks exactly like him and he sounds exactly like him. And then there's another brother, Frank Biden. And Frank Biden is in a little bit of trouble because he released this weird, it was this ad. And I read it yesterday. And then more stories about it came out, including a story in Politico. They decided to get back into the reporting game and do some actual stuff. And this is what they decided to go for. The reason he's in trouble is because an ad ran in the Daily Business Review and he talked about his relationship with Joe Biden. Now, Frank is not a lawyer, but he works, I believe, for a law firm. Strange. He must just have so much wisdom in general that he doesn't need to actually be a lawyer. He contributes so much else to the law firm, I'm sure. If he's like all the other Bidens, I'm sure he's top notch. But this is the quote that I don't think makes any sense. And Jared, I want you to tell me if I'm wrong. I read this yesterday. I thought about it, and I'm really confused. He's talking about Joe Biden. He says, "My brother is a model for how to go about doing this work. One of his central tenets is that one should never question another man or woman's motives or assign blame to them. That way you avoid creating a disparity that prevents any kind of coming together. You can, of course, question someone's judgment, and that's what we're doing by bringing this to court."
Huh? What?
And the reason I think this is so weird is because it's getting Joe not in trouble in the sense like it would get Trump in trouble. They're not going to, you know, subpoena his whole family or anything. But it's creating a headache for Joe Biden. And I'm just looking at it going, was that even worth the headache? It's kind of ridiculous. But the story does get more interesting because now it's coming out that Biden, according to someone with knowledge of the conversation, said to his brother, actually, hold on, I got to ask.
Sentence, and I don't even know where it's going.
He says, "For Christ's sakes, watch yourself," Biden said of his brother's potential business dealings, according to a person with knowledge of the conversation. "Don't get sucked into something that would, first of all, hurt you."
Wait, devout Catholic Joe Biden took the Lord's name in vain?
Yes.
I refuse to believe this.
And I just did as well. And if my fiance's grandmother's listening, I'm really sorry.
You were reading a quote.
I was reading a quote. That's what I used to say when I was little, and I would swear. Like, if it was in a story, I'd say, it's part of the story. It really helps. And my mom would always go, okay, yeah. You know, it's artistic integrity. Biden, whose tone was both jocular and serious, according to the person, seemed to know then what is becoming plainly obvious now. His family's business ties threatened to undermine an administration whose messaging is centered on restoring integrity to the White House. A law firm ad promoting Frank Biden's relationship with the president caused a stir when it ran on Inauguration Day. He didn't even wait till the day after. He was like, we're in. Run it. A federal investigation into Biden's son, Hunter, you guys know all about that. But this is where it gets kind of interesting, okay? It says, Florida super attorney and Democratic donor John Morgan said business sensitivities were coursing through the Biden world this week after the report about Frank Biden's law firm. "What Frank told me is, my brother loves me dearly, but if I lobbied, he would cut my legs from underneath me." Morgan said Frank Biden told him this week. In other words, he was not going to lobby for the firm. He was just going to be a legal consultant or whatever. Again, he's not a lawyer, so I really don't know what he's doing for the firm. Frank made it clear to me what the president made clear to him. The day he got elected, the long knives came out for all things Biden. There's a target on all of them. I just want to say to this guy, John Morgan, no, there's not. Like, you guys, you seriously, and to Frank Biden, you don't have to worry. Like, you guys are good now. You're in. It's all going to get brushed under the rug. I mean, Politico is running this story, but it's really just for fun. You know what I mean? It's just to try their hat at journalism again. The long knives are not out for you. That is clear.
And I don't want to be Gary Grammer here, but Politico, something cannot be jocular and serious at the same time.
Yeah, I kind of thought that was...
That's not a thing.
It was a little contradictory. And the guy goes on. This guy, Morgan, I don't know what he was thinking talking this much, but I love it. He said one person interested in working with Frank Biden was Morgan himself, a fellow Floridian who was close to the younger Biden. This is what Morgan said. Great guy. I had my jet take him to the inauguration. The jets that these people have, the PJs. I kind of think I'm in the wrong biz. I should have just been a Democrat because I love a private jet. Like, and to have friends who can just say, oh, don't worry, I got you. I'll send you there. Does this guy not realize, like, this is the exact kind of optics they're trying to avoid? Like, oh, no, I think Frank Biden's a great guy. We talked about his brother, the president, and I let him take my private jet to the inauguration. Can't you just see Frank behind the reporter like, stop, stop.
Are we taking your jet to Arby's or mine?
Morgan said he'd start talking with Frank Biden about business opportunities last year, but that nothing had come together yet. We are talking about him doing some things inside the firm, Morgan said, referring to his firm Morgan & Morgan, which bills itself as America's largest injury law firm. This is my favorite part. It says any partnership would have a 100% legal focus. It wouldn't involve any lobbying, Morgan added. Now, you skip down like two sentences and it says, Frank Biden is not a lawyer. Anyone else have question marks above their head? I'm like, so what is, it's going to be 100% legal focus, but he's not a lawyer. But works as a senior advisor at another Florida-based law firm, the Berman Group. Morgan is a prominent Democratic donor who gave $355,000 to the Biden Victory Fund in August. And this is as a businessman for years. Oh, this was Frank Biden's business partner talking about him. This guy's name is Joe Abruzzo. He says, as a businessman for years, Frank is inundated with offers and opportunities. He tends to focus on ones he's passionate about, education and social justice issues.
At the law office, where he's not a lawyer.
Yeah.
Okay.
What, do you work for Politico? Take it easy. Too many questions.
I'm just trying to follow the story here.
The Bidens will circle back with you when they feel that they can.
I'm one of these dumb deplorables. I'm just trying to figure it out.
Yeah. My producer is a credulous boomer rube. Frank Biden has long-run business ventures in Florida. He remains with Berman Law Group and is involved in the firm's work fighting against sugar companies that burn sugarcane as part of their business practice. Frank's work on the case drew headlines this week after CNBC reported the law firm was touting his relationship with his brother, the new president, in an advertisement. I just find it amazing that they don't wait at all. Like, I say this all the time, but the lack of subtlety does kind of amaze me. And I think I agree with Barack Obama on this one. Barack Obama was a lot of things, but he had a lot of nuance to him. You know what I mean? Like, he was just radical enough where he really could fundamentally change a lot of America in the time he was there. But he was also just normal enough where people gave it a pass. But right now, the Democrats, like, they don't have any of that. It's like the first day, cancel the Keystone Pipeline. They're just going so... It's just too much too soon. They need to rein it back a little bit. And for Frank Biden, it's like, okay, so this whole thing happens with Hunter. They barely get by. Jack Dorsey had to literally suspend the New York Post and call it Russian disinformation for them to survive the Hunter Biden thing. And then day of inauguration, he's like, run the ad where I'm talking about Joe. It makes sense. It does make sense why they're so arrogant. I mean, who wouldn't be in their position? But I just don't know if it's ever going to catch up to them. I am curious if anyone thinks it will. I would be happy if some of these reports were damning and they actually had to answer for some of this, but I don't know. I'm not going to hold my breath. Joe, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curling Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, Grace. You're doing a great job enjoying. Well, you've been on the air for about 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're doing awesome.
Thank you.
A couple things. Would you prefer to make money the way Hunter Biden and his uncle's father and uncle make it, or the way the Reddit Raiders made it?
Ooh. Well, it depends. Well, Hunter got a 2.8 carat diamond from a Chinese business guy, and diamonds are a girl's best friend. So in some ways, I want to go towards that. I've heard a lot of things that the Bidens are getting, like money-wise, and it does seem good. But the Reddit guys, they're heroes, you know? Like, they can put their heads down at night and not feel bad about it. They were the little guys. They were the Davids versus the Goliaths. And I think a lot of people right now in the country are kind of cheering on the Reddit guys. I know yesterday I said Revenge of the Nerds. I stand by that. But I like the nerds. So I'm going to say the Reddit guys. I'd rather be the Reddit guys than part of the Biden crime family. Guys, sticking to your New Year's resolutions is a matter of making one right decision at a time. It can be tough. I know you start the new year, you're like, I'm going to be healthy, I'm going to do all these things, and then you slowly fall off. Well, if you're looking to institute some healthy habits and improve your lifestyle this year, you need to check out Superbeats Heart Chews. I'm going to give some of them to the VIPs. They're delicious. They taste really good. They help with circulation. Just 2 Superbeats Heart Chews per day give you the cardiovascular support and promote the heart-healthy energy you need to chase your goals. Superbeats Heart Chews combines non-GMO beets and clinically researched grape seed extract, shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure than a healthy lifestyle alone. When it comes to implementing healthy habits this year, adding Superbeats Heart Chews to your daily routine is an easy decision to make. They come prepackaged like that, wrapped up. It's like eating a Starburst. It's so easy. You can take one in the morning, one at night. You can take them both together. It really doesn't matter. It makes you feel good and you feel healthier. And I have a special deal for you guys. If you want to get free 30-day supply of Superbeats Heart Chews plus a free 30-day supply of their new delicious flavor, Super Grapes, with your first purchase, you can go to getsuperbeats.com/grace. That's 2 free gifts valued at over $50, only available at getsuperbeats.com/grace. That's getsuperbeats.com/grace. We will be right back with your calls, 844-500-4242. I'm Grace, and this is the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, by people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you for joining us. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. For all your house odors, whether it's, you know, damp pet smell or tobacco, whatever it is, you need the Eden Pure Air Purifier. Through Sunday, January 31st, BOGO is back. Go to EdenPure.com and use code word GRACEBOGO. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who had the worst first week? Joe Biden, John Kerry, Jen Psaki, or Janet Yellen?
I got to go Jen Psaki.
Jen Psaki polling at 30%, good for second place. She's been overtaken by slow Joe Biden.
Really?
43%.
Wow, this is the first time Joe's ever been polling number one. Good for him. I do have to say, though, Jared, because we had a conversation about this today, I don't want to make this about me, God forbid. But I did have quite the morning today. Something happened.
Yes, you did. It was a dark, dark morning here at the Grace Curley Show.
So every Friday I do this thing. I get a donut every Friday because some places used to do free donut Friday. And then I kind of got in the habit of it and I treat myself. I got through the week. Everyone does different things.
Treat yourself.
And what do I get? I get the best donut that all normal people get. No, not the old-fashioned donut. That's what Howie gets. I always have to get him one when I go somewhere. And it's so sad. It comes in a little bag, and I feel like an old person. But I get him one. He likes it. No, I got a glazed donut. because they're delicious. And no matter where you go, if it's a fancy place or if it's just a regular place, I'm not going to name the place, just a regular place you can find anywhere, the glazed donut's always solid. And I got it in the bag, and I had a lot of calls on my way in, didn't look at it, was saving it for the desk, was going to eat it at my desk. Then I got here, I stuck my hand in, and I pulled out a strawberry frosted donut. And when I tell you, horror, I was disgusted.
The disappointment and dejection on your face was astounding.
Jared is so confused. He goes, I don't understand. Is it the way it looks or is it the flavor? I'm like, it's the flavor, Jared. It's the flavor. Do you think I would willingly say, oh, can I have a strawberry frosted donut? It's gross. And my sister came in and she was asking me, well, how bad was it? Like, what kind of flavor? And she went through like 10 flavors. And every single one, I said, no, I would eat that. Like a jelly donut, I would eat that. Boston cream pie, I would eat that. Blueberry donut, I'm fine. A strawberry frosted, yuck city. So I gave it to Jared. So my bad morning turned into Jared's great morning because he got a free donut on Friday.
It's the circle of life. It's a beautiful thing.
Ugh. I'm still not over it. I'm going to have to get one on my way home.
Are you going to compare the workers at the donut shop to the Capitol insurrectionists? Because apparently that's what we do now. So.
Oh, did someone else do that? Are they comparing it again?
Yes.
Okay, so yesterday we played a guy, some sort of expert. I don't even have to know who these people are anymore. They're all experts and, you know, political pundits, and they know everything. But this guy compared the Reddit traders who helped bring up the stock price of GameStop to screw over the hedge fund guys who shorted the stock. That was the best way I just described it. That was the most coherent way I just described it. I should send that to Joe Biden and say, this is what to say today. Anyway, though, so that guy compared those people at Reddit to the Capitol rioters, which is insane. And it happened again, because when one person says something insane, all of the people at those networks get it and they go, oh, I like that. That is radically crazy. We will all start saying it. Let's hear.
This is former SEC Commissioner Laura Unger.
It really puts a lot of question about the integrity of the market, right? And it really kind of, everybody's scratching their heads over this. What should happen? What is the right thing to do to control this or stop this? Not unlike what we saw on January 6th at the Capitol, right? If you don't have the police in there at the right time, things go a little crazy. And that's kind of feels like what's happening with this. Much different, much lesser degree. It's financial harm, not personal bodily harm. But certainly that's the same kind of, you know, platform created frenzy that people are operating under. And these are very trying times.
If you have to make a comparison and then right after you have to, you know, kind of backpedal and say much different, obviously very different, not the same, then maybe just don't make the comparison. Maybe it's not worth it. Just an idea. Dan, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Dan.
Grace, what those kids did was I've traded stocks for 30 years. What they did was monumentally awesome, but they're going to get in trouble because they exposed, they're probably going to get them for collusion just so they can shut it down, because they exposed not only a weakness in that stock, but in the weakness in our entire financial system as a whole and in the entire market. Now, I don't really know if you remember the 08 crash, but it was probably leveraged 400 to 600% of what the market, total market value was. Right now, we're probably several hundred times leveraged. So what could happen when you're over leveraged is you have a stock, and then you can't cover the margin call. But that's why that guy was crying yesterday, because all his other stocks are also over leveraged. So all it takes is a couple of stocks they do this with, and the whole system comes down, because now you have to sell some position to cover your margin call. But then you're going to get another margin call in that position. Why do you think the mutual fund companies wanted to have the money market break a dollar? Because that way they can steal from the investor that's not in this whole little scam. It's absolute insanity. And then you let what's legal for the hedge funds, they're able to do this. And then what they were going to do is put that company out of business, throw people out on the street.
Yeah, Dan, you know a lot more about it than I do, but I appreciate it. I actually have a good piece here by Sean Davis from The Federalist. He breaks down exactly what happened. We will get to that and Holly Robichaud in the next segment. Thanks for the call, Dan. Great call. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Groups be used at vaccination centers when they get stood up across the country. Does the White House support that request?
I did ask our team about this. You or someone else may have asked about this the other day, and I think I have something on it here. One moment. Thanks for your patience. Lots to say about COVID, no doubt about it. So, let's see. Let me talk to our team about it.
I do have to say, guys, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Our poll today was who's having the worst week so far with the Biden administration. And originally I had voted for Jen Psaki and Biden has taken the lead. But I just want to say for all the Grace Curley Show listeners, I am correct. It is Jen Psaki. That just confirmed it. That Friday clip. That is not good. That was her circle back of a circle back, and it was rough. And it also kind of backs up what I said in the beginning of the show, which is I think they're overwhelmed. I don't think they came into this ready to go. I don't think they have anyone in there who really knows how to answer these questions, because I watch Kayleigh McEnany all the time, and I know they hated her, but damn, she was ready to go. She would flip that. They all made fun of her for her binder, but you never heard her struggling like that with the binder. She had it all color coded, ready to go. Holly Robichaud is with us right now. Holly is our expert with all things having to do with Bacon Hill, as she calls it. But Holly, first I want to get your take on the Biden administration in these first couple of days.
I did not know that being blundering is contagious. Yeah. So, you know, Joe, clearly Jen caught it from Joe, right?
Yeah, I know.
Talk about not being, the whole COVID thing, weren't you prepared that we might get a question on that? And then all week long, so what about the vaccines? And, we're getting there. This has been a disastrous week. And I think what they thought was, well, we're going to get into the White House and the media is just going to keep throwing us softballs. And they're not even throwing hard balls here. They're throwing up things that they should be able to answer, and it's coming across as like they're throwing hard balls at them, fastballs, and they can't answer them. But I'm not surprised, because you got a president that asks when he's signing an executive order, I don't know what I'm signing here.
Yeah, no.
Really? You don't know what you're signing? That's pretty scary, Joe. Maybe then you shouldn't sign it.
No, Holly, you're absolutely right. I've been noticing that, too, that people are starting to say, oh, the press is being really hard on them. And that's not the case. They're just asking fair questions. The Biden administration's only used to be questions about the German Shepherds and Joe's love of milkshakes, black and white fraps or whatever. But, Holly, we got to talk about this piece you have on the Howie Carr Show website. You can also check it out at gracecurlyshow.com. It's called Joe Kennedy, the Nonprofit Hack. For anyone who doesn't know, Holly's been writing pieces for our sites, and they're blowing up. People love these pieces. They're short. They're very snackable. You can read it, and like, you know, it doesn't take you a long time to get through it. But you hit so many points. Tell us what's going on with Joe Kennedy that a lot of people, they've probably forgotten about him. I mean, he lost to Ed Markey. He kind of faded away. But you're keeping tabs on this guy.
Well, I'm on his email list. How I got on it, I'll never know.
Lucky you.
So, yeah. And, you know, once he got through the primary, I got a couple begging emails, but it's been over. And but during impeachment, he sent a couple little things, and I didn't think much of it. And then this week, he's like, I've got big news. And here I'm thinking, the guy's got a job, right? He's got a job. And certainly the blundering Biden administration has picked a lot of people from Massachusetts. He picked Marty Walsh to be Secretary of Labor. And then I'm still shaking over. They picked Stephanie Pollack, the Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation, to go down to be the head of the Highway Department. Talk about failing upwards. And we talked about that last week. So little Joe has been sitting by the phone going, hey, if he's picking Marty Walsh and picking Stephanie Pollack, I should be getting a call soon. But the phone didn't ring for little Joe, and clearly he couldn't get a job in the private sector. So what is the trust fund baby to do? Oh, he got probably a call from Daddy, and Daddy says, I know what you can do. Go out and create a nonprofit, and it'll be profitable to you. As you remember, his dad created Joe for Oil, Citizens for Energy, and he took down a paycheck of over $500,000 to run that so-called nonprofit. I put air quotes on that. And then they did a worldwide search for the director of marketing, which just happened to be Joe's wife. And she's taking down over $300,000.
Oh, so, it's a family business?
Yes. Yeah, it's a family nonprofit.
Oh, right,
nonprofit. Right. So oil's out, as you know, they can't, everybody wants solar and wind, so could not do oil. So little Joe had to come up with a new concept, and so it's called the Groundwork Project. I'm not quite sure what it means, but in his emails, his begging emails, I've already gotten two for it. He's like, we're going to fund grassroots activists and keep the team together, which is another way of saying that he's going to eventually run for office again. And so you're going to pay him and pay his campaign staff, which are probably the worst campaign staff ever because, I mean, Joe started 20 points ahead of Ed Markey and then lost to Ed Markey. I mean, come on. He lost to Ed Markey. He's a Kennedy, and he lost to Ed Markey. I mean, that's got to be the worst staff ever. But with this Groundwork, he's raising money, and it sounds like he's going to keep his campaign team together, and all this money is going to go, you know, fund these big salaries.
Right. You guys can check out Holly's. This is Holly's piece. Sorry, Holly. I just want to let people know because I'm sure they're hearing this and going, where can I read it? Go to gracecurlyshow.com. It's titled Joe Kennedy, the Nonprofit Hack. And Holly, this is what he said in the email. He claims the money will be dedicated to supporting organizers, advocates, and activists on the ground in Massachusetts and across the country who show up year-round to engage and educate voters, build trust in their communities, and work towards a more progressive future.
Yeah, let me translate. That means that he is going to pass out money to local activists that he can buy support for the next election that he's involved with. He wasn't able to get enough support for the last one, so this time he's going to go out there in advance and buy off these people and be ready to go, because that's what the Kennedys do.
But Holly, I do find it interesting, and I think you bring it up in the beginning of this story, that ever since he lost to the ice cream man, as you call Ed Markey, a lot of these other people got picked to be part of Biden's cabinet, Marty Walsh, Stephanie Pollack. And do you think he's regretting ever running against Ed Markey? Because I think if he hadn't run against him and he hadn't kind of put a stain on the Kennedy name with that terrible run, that he probably would have been picked by Biden to fill some sort of role. And I know the Kennedy name wasn't great to begin with. I do get that. Please don't text in everyone and get mad at me. All I'm saying is the loss made him seem like a loser.
Oh, well, he is a loser. He lost to Ed Markey. It didn't help him. Long gone is the clout of the Kennedy name when he gets bypassed for anything down in D.C. And you can't tell me that he decided to do the groundwork project instead of getting chosen for a high-profile position with the Biden administration. You can't tell me that he said, oh, no, that Biden called him and he said, no, I'm going to do this nonprofit. It's going to work out better for me. I don't think so. He didn't get the call. He's been snubbed. And it reflects on the Kennedy name that the only choice that they have is to do a nonprofit. Now, the good news, there is some good news here, Grace.
Oh, please do tell.
Because he only served like 8 years in Congress. So I don't think that's going to qualify him for his own library like his uncle. So we're not going to have the taxpayers having to fund a Joe library.
Oh, that is good news. Silver lining on this Friday afternoon. I'm talking to Holly Robichaud. Holly, I have to ask you, what do you think about this vaccine rollout? I've been noticing, and Howie's mentioned it too, WGBH had an article about Baker and the job he's doing with this vaccine rollout, and they're not impressed. And once you lose WGBH, you've kind of lost the Massachusetts media. What is your take on this?
Disaster. Absolutely disastrous. First of all, he's got these forms online, and it's complicated. And not every senior is technical to be able to do this stuff. And what a disaster on this, in that he's not prepared. It reminds me of Deval Patrick, and when we were converting over from RomneyCare to Obamacare, and it cost the state $1 billion. And I think Baker Parker took a page out of that playbook and said, "Huh, let's screw it up like Deval did, and I'll follow in his footsteps." I mean, how he's not ready. And my thought would be, so should he apologize to Trump? Because he's just been kicking the crap out of Trump for so long, and clearly he wasn't ready to do this rollout. And I'd like to know, when are the restaurants going to be able to go beyond 25%?
Well,
come on, Governor, let's get going.
The part of it that drove me the craziest, I was reading this article, and it was talking about, you know, Massachusetts had a really weird phased out plan where, you know, prisoners got the vaccine before people who weren't living in nursing homes but were over the age of, like, let's say 65. It was weird prioritization of people. But then I noticed that Charlie Baker also in his administration decided that some of these administrative workers for healthcare companies or, you know, Harvard Medical, whatever they were, people who were working from home. So not only were they not old, but they were working from home, were scheduled to get the vaccine before old people. And then I read that a lot of those people weren't showing up for their appointments. So they were just blatantly missing the appointments. And sometimes when that happens, the dose expires and they have to throw it away.
Yeah, where he got his priority list is a little confusing. I think if we follow the science, we would know where to go on this, but we didn't follow the science. I think he was following politics, but I'm not quite sure of the politics of this. Look, anybody that he should have been rolling it out for senior citizens, first in the nursing homes. I'm sorry if you're in prison. I think you should have waited till after our seniors that are the most vulnerable, that are still mobile in the community, that go food shopping and stuff, why they wouldn't get above a prisoner, and why there isn't a better rollout on this. I mean, clearly, if you're a senior, you usually go to the doctor more often. Why wasn't there something done with the doctors or Walgreens or CVS? I mean, they know who's coming in for prescriptions. They do give out flu shots. How this is, could have been messed up this much is mind-boggling to me. I mean, my parents, right? My dad's not been very healthy. He's got a lot of medical conditions, okay? And my mom has caretakers to help her out. What are they going to do? Drive down to Gillette Stadium to get their shot? That's crazy. They should either be going to Walgreens or CVS or their doctor's office. And certainly, I mean, you could have involved the medical community. They know who they have, how many patients they have over the age of 75 or 65. I mean, this is a disaster. Clearly, Baker has really blown this. And let me just say, I've always thought he would not run for a third term, but after this, I don't see how he could run for a third term. You know, who likes him at this point? The seniors don't like him. Restaurateurs don't like him. People that have children that want them going back to schools don't like him. So
Republicans don't like him. Oh, Democrats like him, okay, but Republicans don't like him. But Holly, I think you're absolutely right. And part of it that boggles my mind is the fact that it would seem that if you had such a bad track record with nursing homes, and I was telling my VIPs this earlier, I said, I do think when the Holyoke Soldiers Home tragedy happened, I do think Charlie Baker did feel bad, and I think he felt responsible. I watched a lot of those press conferences. I think you could see it on his face. He knew he messed up. So you'd think that his first reaction, forget the prioritization, forget the phases, forget the guidelines, you'd think he would look at the people planning this and say, number one rule, get it to the old people. That's just the number one rule. And that's what a lot of other governors did. Governor Justice in West Virginia, he said, it's not that complicated. Get it to the old people. And now he has like 90% of the old people are vaccinated.
That would have made sense. And but I haven't seen any real big push to clean up what went on at the nursing homes. Remember, he's still been putting COVID patients into those nursing homes. So I haven't seen a real caring side from him about the seniors, other than he keeps saying that he couldn't visit his dad for 100 days. Okay, well, I don't think he's done a very good job on this whole thing, and it can't be understated about how much he's messed up with the nursing homes, how much he messed up with the Holyoke Soldiers Home, and now how he's messed up with the rollout. There are so many different ways that he could have possibly done this to make it roll out smoothly, and it hasn't happened that way. And now I'm hearing he's going to install a phone line on this. Oh, great. Another phone line.
Another couple of hundred jobs to get people, and they'll never miss a paycheck. Holly, thank you so much for being with us. And people can read Holly's stuff at HowieCarshow.com or GraceCurlyShow.com. Her articles get amazing amount of eyes on them. Everybody wants to read what Holly's coming up with. She always keeps an eye on Beacon Hill. And it's tough because not a lot of people do. People always focus on national news, but there's a lot of corruption happening right in your backyard. Guys, we'll be back with another expert on Massachusetts hacks, Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday, everyone. I hope you enjoyed today's show. A lot of guests. You guys can check out all those podcasts at gracecurlyshow.com. I'm now talking to the one and only Howie Carr. Howie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Grace. I just was looking at the New York Post website all afternoon, and I kept waiting for them to post some of this tape of Andrew Cuomo. I mean, if this were a Republican that had said the things that he said this morning, he'd probably already be out of office, I think.
Howie, I did Cuomo the entire second hour. I mean, the sound, you could do it honestly for the whole 4 hours. The sound is just, it's unbelievable. But there's another sound, Howie, I want to play for you. We played a little bit of this for Holly Robichaud. Jen Psaki got back. You know how she keeps saying she's going to circle back to people?
Yeah.
She finally did. Take a listen.
Groups be used at vaccination centers when they get stood up across the country. Does the White House support that request?
I did ask our team about this. You or someone else may have asked about this the other day, and I think I have something on it here. One moment. Thanks for your patience. Lots to say about COVID, no doubt about it.
No doubt about it.
So, let's see.
She doesn't have much of a future in radio talk.
Let me talk to our team about it.
Howie, it's looking bleak.
You know what Rush says, right? Let me look through my stack of stuff. You know, you don't just rustle through the papers, you know, while you're saying nothing.
No, yeah, you gotta fill it with some sort of sound. I mean, that's just kind of basic of what you do in press. Hey, by the way, Howie, Guantanamo Bay detainees will be offered COVID vaccines to move forward with war crime hearings. Did you hear about this?
No. So why am I not surprised?
The priorities. You know,
the average Gitmo detainee puts on about 30 pounds.
Howie, let everybody know what they can expect on your show today before we go.
I think we're going to be talking about the Durham probe seems to have come to an inglorious end. Kleinsmith got probation. Probation! He tried to put Carter Page in prison.
Unbelievable. Thank you so much, Howie Carr. Everyone tune into his show. I'll be there for Police Blotter Facts Friday and for Grace's News. Thank you so much for listening this week, guys. Stay safe.